Ama bak. Alhamdulillah. Tonight is the 20th of September in the year 2017. Alhamdulillah. We moved on to the 128th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. And I spent the session last night in which I was mentioning various blessed reports where the blessed Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu was clearly fearful of the immense wealth that was now pouring in to the Bayt al-Mal. So in continuation, in Ahmad in his Zuhd, page 118, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 324 of the New English Translation. Jafar ibn Hayyan al-Sa'idi, rahmatullah alayhi, he relates. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, he once passed by a garbage dump and he halted there. It was then as if his companions were bothered by it, i.e. the stench. He thereupon said, "This is the world of yours, which you are so eager for and weep over." Subhanallah. So let's look at this blessed report. So this is recorded by Imam Ahmad in his work on asceticism, Az-Zuhd, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, and Hayat al-Sahab. So here Sayyidina Umar, obviously the people were learning from the great man radiyallahu, and they came, and he obviously did this deliberately. He went into a place of refuse where people would throw their, you know, their waste. And he actually stopped there. So the people with him naturally got bothered, i.e. by the stench. He thereupon said, "This is the world of yours, which you are so eager for and weep over." So now what was the lesson to say that Umar was getting across? What he was basically saying is, why are you so troubled here? I can see from your expressions, and naturally, if one of us were to go to the sewers, we would want to stay there. So naturally, the natural reaction to that is one of repulsion and can't wait to leave. But when he saw them in that state, he goes, why is it then that you don't have the same reaction to the world? You should be repulsed by it, and you should be ever eager to leave. And yet, not only is that not in your lives, you've literally camped up. And there's again so many famous reports. For example, our beloved messenger, he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Tirmidhi, Hasan Sahih Ghareeb al-Mishkat. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "If the world was worth the wing of a mosquito to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would not have given a sip of water to the unbelievers." Subhanallah. If the world was worth the wing of a mosquito, he would not have given even a sip of water to the unbelievers. So simply put, in this authentic hadith, our beloved messenger was saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not even worth the wing of a mosquito. So obviously, a wing of a mosquito, what is it worth? It's worth nothing. You know, what benefit do you get from the wing of a mosquito? It's worth, if its worth was that much to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine, even if you have put a price on it, if the world was worth that much, the unbelievers would not get a sip of water. Why? Because Allah ta'ala will not give anything of value to the unbelievers. But the fact that they're indulging in the world shows it's worth nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet, we're competing. Imagine, we're competing for this lowly life. It was for this very reason that we have a report. In Tabarani, in his Awsat, number 6120 or 2-177. Bayhaqi, in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 10536 or 7-347. Dailami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 3364 or 2-299. Al-Qudai, in his Musnad al-Shihab, number 278 or 1-188. Targhib, number 4857. Al-Haythami, in Majma al-Zawaid, 10-286, states Sahih. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Az-zuhdu fi dunya yurihu al-qalba wal-jasad." Abstinence from this world cools the heart and the body. abstinence from this world cools the heart and the body. So this is the literal translation. But obviously the meaning being, it refreshes the heart, i.e. so you will lead a more stress-free life. One of the greatest killers in the modern age is stress. They say this. So what is the remedy for stress? Look how strange. We've got it. It's zuhd. And it's not from a doctor, it's from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Az-zuhdu fi dunya yurihu al-qalba wal-jasad. Zuhd from this world, yurihu al-qalb. It cools the heart and the body. Meaning it has the most profound impact, both physically and of course, more importantly, spiritually. So note, it's not just benefiting you in the hereafter. It greatly benefits you in this world. In another word, in Al-Qudai, in his Musnad al-Shihab, number 278, or 1-188, Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu, he said, وَالرَّغْبَةُ فِي الدُّنْيَا تُكْثِرُ الْحَمَّ وَالْحُزْنَ وَالْبِطَالَةُ تُكْسِ الْقَلْبِ. The appetite for this world multiplies anxiety and sorrow, and indecent talk hardens the heart. Subhanallah. The appetite for this world multiplies anxiety and sorrow, and indecent talk hardens the heart. So two ailments the great Abdullah ibn Amr highlighted, radiyallahu anhu. He first said, وَالرَّغْبَةُ فِي الدُّنْيَا, i.e. the appetite, you know, the when you craving, the craving for the world, تُكْثِرُ الْحَمَّ وَالْحُزْنِ, it multiplies anxiety, ham and huzn, sorrow. Like in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلْحَاكُمُ التَّقَافُرُ, he uses the same word, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mutual rivalry, the piling up of the world distracts you. So in this report, the great companion said, تُكْثِرُ, it piles up anxiety and sorrow, i.e. the appetite for the world. And then he said, an indecent talk, وَالْبِطَالَةُ تُقْسِ الْقَلْبِ, hardens the heart. There's a report from our beloved messenger, he has a weakness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Tirmidhi and Mishkat. Our beloved messenger is reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those of you who talk the most without remembering your Lord will have the hardest heart. And the furthest from the mercy of their Lord on the day of resurrection are those with the hardest hearts. So this is a report, authentic from the Sahaba, witness from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is another thing that we need to be careful of. If you talk and you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your speech, it has a detrimental effect on your heart. It hardens it. Then the Prophet explains sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the furthest from the mercy of the Lord are those with the hardest hearts. So here Abdullah ibn Amr said the same thing. وَالْبِطَالَةُ تُقْسِ الْقَلْبِ, indecent talk hardens the heart. The world is truly insignificant to our living Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Al-Aqd Al-Farid 3-152-153, Luqman alayhi salam, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created any creation which is of lesser importance to him than it, i.e. the world. Neither has he made its bounties a reward for the obedient, nor its difficulties a punishment for the sinners, i.e. for these are shared by both. So the great Luqman alayhi salam, he said something most profound. He said, think of the things that Allah has created. There is nothing he has created which is which has less significance to him than the world. Think about that. He's created everything. Khaliq kulli shay, he creates everything. But what is the most insignificant of his creations? The world. Then he said, the wisdom. If you receive the bounties of the world, that's not a reward for your obedience. Allah Ta'ala won't reward you from anything in this world. Nor do you get difficulties in the world, nor is that a punishment for the sinners. And the obvious way to explain this is Muslims and non-Muslims share this. So no, this is not the place of judgment. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu, he said in Fath al-Bari, authentic hadith, you are now in an abode where there is action but no judgment. But soon you will traverse to an abode where there is nothing but judgment and no action. So what the great Sayyidina Ali was saying was, you must always remember, Allah Ta'ala will not judge you in this world. This is the place where you are making or breaking your akhirat. But when you traverse into the next world, khuda hafiz, no more deeds. You can't earn a deed, imagine. Look how easy it is to do a good deed now. What would the dead give to do another one good deed? Meaning, use your time wisely. And imagine on the Day of Judgment, you know the famous report. The report mentions a man will be struggling to get a single good deed. He can't acquire it. He has to ask others, and nobody wants to give it. So when you hear that report, you're thinking, well, why don't I just increase it? There you go, you got time. Invest it now and you still got time. Reflect also upon the beautiful words of Yahya ibn Mu'ad Razi rahmatullah alayh. Hafiz Samarqandi in his Tanbihul Ghafilin, page 183 of the English translation. The world is the cultivating field of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man is its seed. Death is its sickle. The angel of death, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the one who severs. The grave is where the grain is sifted. The gathering ground is the stack. Paradise and hell are the warehouses, the grain being stored in the former and the husk in the latter. Subhanallah. So one of the great personalities in our history, Yahya ibn Mu'ad Razi, he's now likening your entire life to a farmer's. He goes, the world is the cultivating field. So this is straightforward. This is the place where you make or break, you either harvest or you waste your land. Then he said, man is the seed, meaning you are the one who can plant or not plant. If you don't, you wouldn't have got yourself to blame. Death is the sickle. Now the sickle is basically that object that is used to cut wheat. Death terminates, means that whatever you planted is there, nothing more can be put. The angel of death is the one who's got the sickle. The grave is where the grain is sifted. What does that mean? You may have harvested rubbish. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept the pure. So the grave is where rubbish is sifted from the pure. The gathering ground is the stack, i.e. the Day of Judgment. Paradise is where the grain is stored. Hell is where the husk is stored. So note, look how beautiful. He could have just said the obvious, but he's using examples on the earth, which we all can understand. It is related in Qurtubi in his Tafsir, volume 1, page 331 of the English translation. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu, he once passed by the graveyard of Baqi, and he said to the people, peace be upon you, O dwellers of the graves. The news with us is that your wives have remarried. Your dwellings are lived in, and your property is divided. Subhanallah, an invisible voice responded to him. O son of Khattab, radiyallahu, the news with us is that we have found what we sent ahead. We profited from what we spent, and we have lost what we have left behind. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So now, obviously, it's a karama, it's a miracle. We shouldn't find it strange. These are noble people. He's gone to Jannat al-Baqi, where the nobles lie. And he starts talking to them, imagine. So at that point, people thought, okay, he's talking to the living. He's getting the message across, maybe, by through the dead. But really, he's talking to the living. But he was actually talking to them. He goes, oh, people of the graves, give them salam. Your wives, what's happened to them? They got married again. Your houses, guess what? Somebody else is living in them. And your wealth has been divided. Meaning, if that's what you came on the earth for, you've lost it all. But then the dead responded, O son of Khattab, what we sent ahead, we found, i.e. our good deeds. We've profited from what we spent, meaning sadaqah, and we've lost, i.e. what we stored, i.e. what people do now, leaving their banks full. Because we've lost it, it's all gone. Wasted investment. So note Sayyidina Umar, Allah Ta'ala is now causing karamas to take place in Al-Madinah for him. And look, imagine the impact upon those who observed. you know, this scene. In a famous report in Sahih Bukhari, Nasai and Mishkat, our beloved messenger himself once asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which of you loves the property of his heir more than his own property? So this question, let's explain what this means. So what he simply was asking, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that, go forward into your future. Imagine the wealth that you will leave. It's going to now go to your heirs. That wealth. Do you love that wealth which will go to your heirs, or do you love your own wealth? So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is none of us with sound minds who does not love his own property more than that which is given to the heir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon said, no. In fact, there is none of you who does not love the property of his heir more than his own property. For indeed, your own property is what you sent ahead, and the property of your heir is what you leave behind. Meaning, you've made a statement, but your actions speak louder than your words. It's not true what you're saying. The fact that you're leaving so much shows that you loved your inheritance of your heirs, but it's foolishness. A person even who doesn't believe would think it's foolishness. In fact, I listened to one of the presenters, comes on the morning shows. He goes, I want to die a pauper. He says, I don't want to leave anything. Obviously he's very wealthy. He says, I'm going to make sure to die as a pauper. Meaning he's got that mindset. He says, why should I leave it to anybody else? I'm the one who's deserving of the wealth. And that's not even a Muslim. I think he's got a Christian background. And what do we do? Imagine. So ask yourself that question. Do you love your own wealth or your heirs' wealth? And you'll say, I love my own wealth. Then why are you leaving it for your heirs? Then you start, Shaitan will start, you know, rationalizing. But, oh, no, but it's better to leave them in a good state and this, that. Yes. But what's a good state? Your standard or the standard of the Prophet said, Allah is. Right? Your state, you're going to come out with, 2 houses, 50 grand in bank, this, that, the other. You're leaving Khandan wealth in man. Never mind, you know, just one kid and one missus. So no, these are questions the Prophet is posing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu describes such people as perfect caretakers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives understanding. Imagine. So he was describing, you know, I'm paraphrasing. He goes, subhanallah, what an excellent caretaker. He goes, he does the work so diligently and he doesn't even get paid for it. So the Tabi'in Sahaba, they go, Zamil al-Mu'mineen, who are you referring to? Because the one who passes his wealth on to his heirs. He goes, what a caretaker. But really, he's not praising. He goes, what an idiot. Think about that, right? So note, what do you learn? You learn, you have to be wise. You have to understand that you're here and you have to save yourself, first and foremost. On the subject of asceticism, it is related. This is in Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat 3-154. Sayyida Ash-Shifa bint Abdullah radiyallahu anha. She once saw a few youngsters who were walking at a slow pace and speaking slowly, thinking this to be piety. So she asked, what is this? They replied, we are ascetics. We are doing zuhd. She thereupon clarified, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Umar radiallahu used to speak, he would make sure he was heard. When he walked swiftly with strength. When he beat, he made sure it caused pain and the lesson was learnt. He was indeed a genuine Zahid. So let's look at this. So Shifa bint Abdullah was a female companion radiallahu, and Umar radiallahu had placed her under the charge of the markets in Al-Madinah. So she was a strong woman. And she noticed these, you know, quite interesting youngsters. And what were they doing? Speaking very slowly, walking very slowly. So when she asked, maybe they were ill. He goes, no, this is zuhd. We're doing zuhd. We're basically ascetics. And what was their response to that? Yeah, you're doing zuhd according to your own understanding. He goes, the true Zahid was Umar. But then she described him. He goes, this is what a Zahid is. He goes, when he spoke, he made sure people heard him. Did Umar speak slowly? Secondly, when he walked with determination. He didn't walk slowly. Thirdly, when he struck, he made sure it caused pain, meaning the lesson is taught, and he was a Zahid. So note, the companions would use Umar as a gauge to correct these misunderstandings. And look how interesting, these same misconceptions have entered again into the Ummah. Some people think to walk slowly, to have a weak voice, oh, this is a Sufi. No, he's not. There's something wrong with him. Right, but this had crept in the time of the Sahaba, so obviously we've got problems in today's day and age. Clarifying further on the true ascetic. Let me finish with this. Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh, in his Munabbihat, in the chapter on the council in 8, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, the one who abandons excessive speech will be given wisdom. The one who abandons excessive looking will be given the tranquility of the heart. The one who abandons excessive food will be given delight in worship. The one who abandons excessive laughter will be given veneration. The one who abandons excessive joking will be given a beautiful appearance. The one who abandons the love of the world will be given the love of the hereafter. The one who abandons busying himself with the faults of others will be given the ability to rectify his own faults. And the one who abandons questioning the essence of Allah the Almighty and Glorious will then be given security from hypocrisy. SubhanAllah. So this is the speech of Sayyidina Umar. Imagine. So this narration is affectionately called the Hadith of Abandonment. Abandoning what is futile. So he mentioned 8 things. Do you not want to be given wisdom? Which person will say, no, of course I want wisdom. Then don't talk much, Umar said. You don't talk much, Allah will give you wisdom. There's the deal. You go to another person. Would you like tranquility of the heart? Sakina, peace. Because which one would say no to that? Then stop looking at the haram. Otherwise you'll never have peace of heart. Thirdly, would you like to taste the sweetness of worship? Which person would say no? Then abandon eating excessively. Don't eat in excess. Would you not like to be venerated? High people will show veneration, respect you. Then abandon excessive laughter. The Prophet didn't laugh. He only smiled. Said Allah alayhi wa sallam. Would you like to have a beautiful appearance, meaning dignity, you know, an air of dignity around you? Then avoid excessive joking. Our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Ibn Majah, Sahih Hadith, excessive laughter kills the heart. If you laugh too much, it has a very detrimental impact on your heart, meaning you will be dead spiritually. And look at the people around you, those who are always joking. They're dead, spiritually dead. Would you not like the love of the hereafter? Then abandon love of the world. Would you not like the ability to realize that you have to sort your own problems out, your faults? Yes. Then stop busying yourself with the faults of others. And finally, he said, would you like to be safe from hypocrisy? Yes. Then stop going into the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, don't focus too much upon His blessed, exalted state. You will never understand this. But rather, focus upon His creation. Like our beloved Messenger said. Look how interesting. Umar said, you'll become a munafiq if you do that. Why? Because you haven't got the faculties. So note the deep understanding of Sayyidina Umar. All of these reports I've mentioned today shows that he was a walking, living, talking Quran. Because he was taught by the best, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was given the best by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all I mentioned today was basically again the subject of the world. And Sayyidina Umar beautifully getting across the important lessons with regards to not being over attached to this lowly worldly life. And then I mentioned, of course, a few other reports with regards to the misconceptions of Zuhd and how one of the blessed female companions corrected this. And of course, the hadith of abandonment, which is a beautiful hadith on the authority of Sayyidina Umar. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل بالحق وواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم